This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Limsu Ann and Sumitra Selvaraj. And now moving on to our second story, we do actually have a poll going on Twitter.
The story is that the Baltimore Museum of Art has decided that it will only buy works by female artists in 2020. And this is because they have far more works by male artists than they do female artists. They're trying to redress the balance here. So we're asking you, do you think this is a good way to create gender balance in art museums? So far, we have almost three quarters of you, 73% of you say no, it's not a good way to create gender balance. Well, only 27% of you say yes. You can keep taking this BFM poll on Twitter by tweeting us at BFM Radio. You'll find the poll there. Or if you fancy sending us a message via WhatsApp, do that via 018-789-8899, or if you fancy a chat, call us at 03-7733-2900.
So I'm actually really intrigued by the poll results, right? Because it is no big secret that in art museums around the world, you are much more likely to see works by male artists than female artists. And this is despite the fact that many art museums do claim to be improving the diversity of their collections. So the Baltimore Museum of Art in the US has taken a pretty bold step. They recently announced that for the next 1 year, so in 2020, the museum will only purchase art by female identifying artists. Now, we should mention, though, that this policy will only apply to works that they are purchasing and not works that are gifted to them. For a lot of museums, they get equal number of works being gifted. But when they put out their money, they're only going to buy works by female artists. Okay. So this announcement is a part of the Baltimore Museum's larger initiative to celebrate female identifying artists next year. This includes, 13 solo exhibitions and 7 thematic ones, all featuring female works. And this is because next year marks a century since women were guaranteed the right to vote in the US.
And just for some context, the Baltimore Museum of Art is a biggie, It's 95,000 artworks within its collection, including the world's largest collection of Henri Matisse works. But out of this 95,000, just 3,800 works are by women. And when we do the quick math, that accounts for just 4% of the entire collection.
That's a tiny number.
It is. And so according to the museum director, Christopher Bedford, something dramatic had to be done to address this because they don't want it to stay at just 4%. He was quoted in the Baltimore Sun as saying, in a quote, Tim here, this is how you raise awareness and shift the identity of an institution to rectify centuries of imbalance. You have to do something radical.
So this huge imbalance that is skewed towards men is, of course, really reflective of historical attitudes and inequalities. It didn't just happen today, female artists had much less access to creating and selling art. Collectors historically viewed their works as having less value. Women just haven't had the same level of access to education, to support, to public spaces, and even social networks as men have throughout history. But this really has ramifications in terms of even the art that we now have access to. So a 2019 study of 18 major US art museums found that 87% of the artists in their collections are men. And these are some of the big museums, including the Met. And if you look at the UK, including museums like the Tate Galleries, the average seems to be one female artist for every 5 male artists.
Shall we continue with the depressing facts of the current art market? In the top 20 most popular exhibitions around the world in 2017, only one was headlined by a woman artist. Is that right, Sharmila?
Yeah, that's true.
Yayoi Kusama at the National Art Center in Tokyo. Only 26% of the winners of the Turner Prize, one of the most well-known visual arts awards, have been women, and a large percentage of that, 6 women, have won from 2010 onwards. Yes. So there's been a slew of women winning.
So obviously, there's this sense of wanting to correct this imbalance all around. But yes, still, that's a very low number of winners.
Yeah, well, it doesn't get any better, unfortunately. A 2015 report by Art News on women of the art world showed that the percentage of solo female exhibitions across the board was only 30%. According to the National Endowment for the Arts in the US, female artists make 74 cents for every dollar made by male artists. The gender pay gap exists even in the art world.
Yes, just because you paint doesn't mean you're... I don't know, is it important to see more art by women?
Well, diversity, right? We talk about this all the time, and it's not about... And to me, it's the idea of... I personally want to read more female authors rather than male authors, because for a large percentage of my life, I have read mainly male authors. And it was an unconscious bias, I suppose. And likewise, in the art world, if you maybe think about the famous painters or the famous artworks that you've always looked at and enjoyed, and just this idea of really how many of them are female, just for a different point of view.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I guess for people who are visiting art museums, right, if you are an aspiring artist, you go there and all you, if you identify as a female and you go to these museums and all you see are male artists, then that you might then wonder why it is that there aren't more female artists. There are more of their works being exhibited there. And this is a cool way to show that, look, we might not have noticed that they've had wonderful works before this, but now we're making an effort to exhibit these works.
Mm. Can I play devil's advocate and ask, shouldn't art just be art, though?
So I was just thinking that, right? And that's why I asked, why is it, what does it matter if it's... But I'm thinking that at the end of the day... any creative output is a question of the stories and the narratives you tell.
Yes.
And if we're excluding 50% of the stories of the world, then we're not doing a very good job of representing all the diversity of things that people might have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's actually why I think that when you think about art, it's not just that the art has... It's not about the fact that the art should only tell female stories.
I agree.
But it's about presenting a viewpoint that maybe might be different.
Mm. And you want something that's reflective of the actual realities on the ground.
Yes, yeah. And the truth is that the world is as much made up of people who identify as female or, you know, other genders on the spectrum as they are men, right? So why should we only see 87% of work by overwhelmingly one type of people?
Because they've been given the opportunity.
Right. So I wanted to get the perspective of someone who works with the visual arts about this.
Mm.
I spoke earlier today to art curator Leanne Loy, and I started off by asking her whether the art world is still dominated by men.
Of course, I think this is definitely the case today. But I think this is largely due to issues underlying our educational and institutional systems, of which have always had a huge emphasis on male artists and their works. Because in history, all of the creative markers made to define the value in art has always been in favor of male artists. But I think that Malaysia's situation differs somewhat to the West, where I have most of my art experience, in that this gender equality and emphasis and tradition is systemic and also continuously practiced today. So, I mean, to me, there needs to be a change in perspective over what is seen as valuable. As much as the Malaysian art market is driven by our collectors and patrons, they kind of have a responsibility to be a bit more conscious in the efforts to buy female artists and maybe contemplate more highly on the direction that our society, the youth, is growing toward as being more receptive and open-minded individuals.
Mm.
Also, that's just the kind of trend that's been going on in the West as well.
So should institutions be taking active measures to increase their collections of women artists?
I think they should, and I am very supportive of any initiative like, buy more works by female-identifying artists and those who've been underrepresented. But I think I say this because I heavily relate to their struggles as women, and especially someone working within the arts industry where there's a heavy male dominant presence. Personally, though, I am quite adverse to this extremist or radical perspective and action that may spawn exclusion.
Mm.
I think my ideal form of feminism really makes inclusion and understanding a priority. So while I think it's actually very important for institutions to be a force of influence, I think it may be difficult for some people to identify or agree with a decision that, you know, that they are not included in or that may dramatically affect them. male artists.
So how can, I mean, for in the case of the Baltimore Museum of Art, for instance, and deciding to only purchase works by female identifying artists, that to me also sounds like something that could potentially make people feel excluded. What are some other ways that institutions can be, perhaps how can they balance this?
Well, I'm not quite sure on the necessary moves, but I think primarily there is a need to re-aim and reconnect the canon and the markers that define creative achievements in history or in our art history. I think because the Baltimore Museum of Art is this huge and largely influential institution, they need to act on it and they have a responsibility to act on that. However, I think if there is a claim to redirect the canon, it shouldn't be on the basis that, you know, these are all just female artists or female identifying persons, but they're actually artists who make amazing work who just happen to be female. I think this will eventually lead to some kind of inclusivity and will level out the playing field to make sure that everyone fully understands each other's struggles and issues and also empathizes with one another. I don't think that purely basing your buying decisions on the gender of the artist is the correct way to go, because we are talking about a future of secularism and inclusivity. And I think these are really important factors. I'm not too sure on the reactions of such a radical decision to only buy, you know, one gendered artwork or work made by one gender. But sometimes I think that dramatic and radical change has to happen for a reaction and maybe a dramatic shift in perspective. So I don't know about balance, but I do know, but in 2020, one year of buying just women artists will not upset the whole art history of male artists dominating the scene.
And when it comes to your own work, you know, in terms of curation or the exhibitions that you work on, how do you address questions of gender representation?
I don't think that art's value should be gender or racially biased. It should be merit-based and based on genuine talent, whether it's intellectual or visual. I personally don't choose artists solely because they're underrepresented either. I think this does kind of a disservice to those who truly deserve the attention, but happen to be male. I work with many male and female artists in Malaysia, but I do steer toward those who might not even have the reach to a platform in order to give them the opportunities. For example, this year I worked with Yan Sam for Transience and Transformation exhibition held at A+ Works of Art, the gallery I work at. And that kind of propelled her to a commissioned or a residency at the Jogja Biennale, which actually opened about a month or two ago. And so that was her first opportunity at a Biennale, of which, you know, I, along with the gallery, helped to guide her toward. But also working as a curator means that you have the responsibility to offer these opportunities to people who you think have the artistic potential. And that really should not be based off of that, the person's individual characteristics. It should really just be purely based on the work and the potential and the projection of the works. But also working with a gallery, you know, there's this added pressure to ensure that you're holding up to a fair standard. So I think that there are different pressures personally as well as institutionally that have me steering toward artists who may not have the opportunity or may be underrepresented. And in this case of our conversation, maybe that might be female artists. But I also try not to be so heavily biased. I don't think that's very fair.
So that was art curator Leanne Loy. And she brought up some really good points there, right? Particularly about whether in being inclusive, should we simultaneously be excluding? And that's kind of what our Twitter poll is about.
Absolutely. We're asking you on Twitter whether we should, hang on, let me pull that up right now. Sorry, whether it's a good idea for the Baltimore Museum of Art to only buy works from women artists. And they've decided to do this all throughout 2020, right? And they say that they're doing this because only 4% of their massive collection of 95,000 works of art are from female identifying artists. So we're asking you, do you think that this is a good way to create gender balance in art? And 75% of you say no, you don't think it is. And only 25% of you say yes.
I must say I'm on the fence. I think as a statement, as a sort of a bold call to action, I think it works. And it sort of puts out an intent that's very clear. I don't necessarily know whether that needs to mean, because I'm also thinking, you know, when it comes to intersectionality, for instance, right?
Yeah.
Not all women are underprivileged.
Absolutely.
Not all men are privileged.
Yes.
So sometimes when you want to look at it that way, you know, when you say we're not purchasing works by men, then what about non-white men?
Yes.
You know, they already have issues getting their works into institutions.
Yes.
Now, this is one less place that they can sell to for a year. So I am on the fence, but I'm also surprised at the fact that so many people think that it wouldn't work.
Because you know, in the whole history of art, from the day that the first caveman, and I'm pretty sure it's a caveman who placed his palm dipped in ocher onto a cave wall somewhere, right up to today, present day, right? Yeah, 1 year of women's paintings in one museum isn't going to hurt anybody's feelings, is it?
I mean, I think feelings are subjective. What I would say, though, is clearly, especially when you look at it within the context of the fact that they have so few works by female artists, it's almost like, in a way, an institutional decision, isn't it? I mean, if they were to say, for instance, oh, we think that our sculpture collection is vastly smaller than our paintings collection.
Sure.
And so for the next 1 year, we're going to spend time just buying more sculptures.
And then all the visual artists who are involved in paintings are like, you're discriminating against us with the brushes.
So in a way, it almost makes, can you say financial sense in a museum? No, it makes sense in that way to just round out your collection, even from a practical purpose, right?
From a cultural perspective, right?
And I guess that way you might attract a different sort of audience to come to your museum as well, because the people who came to visit the Baltimore Museum probably look at it from what are the artworks available so far. So now with them introducing more artwork from women, perhaps people who are interested in artwork by women will make that effort to visit the museum.
So the thing that I started thinking about when I first came across this story, and I'm going to put both of you on the spot a little bit here. When I ask you to think of your favorite female artists, is it more difficult to think of? And I'll confess, I certainly have to think more, because your instant sort of recall tend to be male artists.
Yeah, it's near impossible for me. I mean, to start, I'm not really an arty visual artist, visual art kind of person, but I struggled. I mean, I saw Tracy Emin's work, The Unmade Bed, and all of that in the UK. And Tracy Emin was one of them who won the Turner Prize, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Right,
she did win the Turner Prize. And of course, you know, everybody waxes lyrical about Frida Kahlo, and I won't go there. But yes, those are the only two names that kind of spring out at me.
And as someone who's not that that involved in the arts culture, right? For someone from a more layperson perspective, the moment you ask about visual artists, the names that come to mind are the male artists that are very, very famous. It's very hard for people, I think, to think of a female artist unless you are invested in it, unless you actively look for art, I think. Then
unless you make a practice of getting to know who the female artists are. And you do kind of have to go out. And I have to confess that most of my early exposure to female artists have been from attending female-only shows or a female-focused gallery or a highlight of a particular artist's retrospective, like Georgia O'Keeffe, for instance. Otherwise, if you just walk into a general exhibit in most art museums, mm-hmm. you'd be hard-pressed to... You could walk around for hours and maybe see two or three works by women, and you may not like them, you may not notice them, you know, so it's very subjective. Right. And I do think that if you want to highlight their work, some extra sort of push needs to happen.
I'm going to put you on the spot. So you believe in a quota system?
See, it's a difficult question. I don't think I do. We talk about quotas in many senses.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I always feel like a quota system is a stopgap measure. Mm. And long term, I'm not sure if it's actually going to help. Mm. However, how long do we wait for something to change?
Correct.
That's the question,
correct.
Right?
Mm. And that, I think, is the crux of this whole idea of being exclusionary in order to be inclusive. Somebody is going to fall through the gaps. Somebody is going to be hurt in the process. But is there a greater good? Is there a bigger picture in sight beyond?
And I guess hearing you talk about this, right, I can see the similarities when you talk about women's rights laws at the international level. You have CEDAW, which actually promotes you to take action to give a quota to push women up to do things that perhaps previously they weren't able to, and to have that temporary quota just to have their work, for example, there. And then at some point when equality or equity is achieved, then you take away.
And 365 days seems pretty temporary
that
to me.
Yes. It does seem temporary to me. And I think with enough justification.
Yes.
The only thing I would say is that most of the time when I sort of hesitantly support there being a temporary quota system, I always feel like it needs to be married with other activities. So are you empowering women, girls at a grassroots level, making it easier for them to, in this case, perhaps engage with the arts? Are you encouraging collectors to engage with works of women? Because it's not just enough to have your works in museums, you have to have collectors buy your work. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff that needs to be done along the way. Just having a year of women's works displayed, I don't think is enough.
Mm-hmm.
It certainly creates the headlines, but a lot of work needs to be done at every step, not just in the most visible level of whichever sector you're talking about.
We had a WhatsApp comment come in that completely disagreed with us and saying, no, next year only women, next will it be ethnicity? Absolutely valid point.
Yeah, well, isn't that what, for instance, in the US, the National Museum of African American History does? They decided to open up an entire institution dedicated to a particular, community, I would say, because sometimes you do need to give that space. You can't have every story sitting in one institution. You will shortchange someone. So perhaps it's worth having. I mean, there's also in, and it's a great museum, the National Museum of Women in the Arts in Washington, D.C., which really focuses, it has 5,500 objects devoted to, by women, which I think is a great way to kind of not exclude, but also create a space.
Yes.
Well, you can continue to share your thoughts with us at BFM Radio on Twitter. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can call us at 03-7733-2900. Well, that is all the time we have for you on the show today. But you can look us up on Facebook. Just look up BFM The Bigger Picture if you'd like to drop us a message. And if you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest, on the BFM app, or on Spotify. We will leave you now with Karen O's singing Woman on the Daily Digest, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.